I'm Ed Kless, and welcome to my podcast, my random thoughts about everything, work, family, friends, politics, it's all related. Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to our podcast today. With me today are the principals at TGO Consulting, Tracy, George, and Orgad, and I'm excited today to bring to you their story of their transition to becoming a firm of the future. So welcome, guys.
Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Hello.
So tell me the story. Why did you guys start down this path? What was the, maybe was there a key event that started it, or was it just a mindset shift? What was it that started you down this path to be a firm of the future?
Basically, it all started, I was down at the Sage conference, and I saw a presentation by you and Ron Baker about value pricing, and kind of piqued my interest because we've been kind of struggling with the hourly billing for a long time. It just didn't really fit into the values of our company and how we did business. And we didn't think that was the best way to serve our customers. So when you guys presented that, kind of clicked in right away. So I came back from the conference, told Tracy and Orgad, and then kind of got the ball rolling slowly, trying to convince them. You know, they all agreed. But then as we started to present it to the rest of our team, they were not so keen on it.
Okay. So it was more the more team that was resistant to you than you folks as principals.
Yeah, it was more the change and really just understanding the implications. And there were a lot of questions over, well, what does this mean and how do we execute and what do we say if a customer asks those questions? So it was more tactical. I think from a strategic standpoint, everybody got it right away and saw the reason why a change of this nature would be good. But when we got down to the actual details, that's where we kind of got lost a little bit.
Well, I remember we had a company meeting and one of the consultants was very apologetic for doing something too quickly. And I said, did you do a good job? And it just didn't make sense. And we're all looking at each other. And we said, hey, the client's happy. What are you apologizing about? He goes, well, I know I was supposed to be scheduled the whole day. I only took a few hours and we're losing money because of that. And we said, hey, this doesn't make sense. This is the way it should be. You know, if you could do it quickly and the client's happy, then that makes sense to us and not the other way. And that's what, you know, we looked at and we said, time billing is actually backwards than the way we think.
What were some other things? Some other things that maybe got in the way that you struggled with either initially or as you were making the transition?
A lot of, on the client side. We had issues with our clients wanting to work with us in the same way and wanting to break everything down into an hourly rate so that they could compare us and just being used to working with us one way when we're trying to change to a new way. So and some of those battles we just didn't win, especially we had to just keep working with them, especially some of our government clients where it's very prescribed how they work with the vendor. But for our true partner clients, and that's where it started to really make sense for the clients that we really had a partnership relationship with, that's where it all started to really come together and where we felt really strongly that we were moving in the right direction.
Excellent. George Orgad, anything else to add to that?
Yeah, we actually seen did a large upgrade at a client, and we saw the benefits of not having, you know, we're there till midnight, we're there till 2 a.m., one consultant spend the whole night. And the last thing you want to talk about, in the old ways we did it, would have been, hey, Mr. Client, by the way, I'm going to send you an invoice for this, when they have 10 of their own people sitting there working with us as a team. So with the whole value pricing as working as a team with a client, we don't have to face that. You know, it's all built into the price. It's not about how many hours we spend. We just have to get the job done. And it's up to us to be effective and efficient in doing so. So I think that was a really good thing. And the client was extremely happy with us. And so that was a big change they've seen in the way we work with TGO, and they're really happy with the way we're doing things now.
And it's changed our relationship with them.
Completely.
We've always struggled to become a partner with them. And this, we believe, was actually a catalyst to us truly partnering with them. And so now, Orga can tell you about a call he just had with them this week.
Yeah, they gave me an option. We gave them an option. We're doing an implementation of some collection management software. And they said, I gave them the options. And we said, we can do it ourselves. You could do it yourself. Or we can let the other company do it for you. And they said, and one of the things I said, you can also work as a team if you like. And I said, yeah, we would like to work as a team with you.
Whereas in the past...
Yeah, in the past, they would want to do it because they're worried about the cost. The cost is not even an issue now. The trust level has just gone way up in our relationship since we've gone to value pricing.
Excellent.
But it's not like that. It's not like that with every client, and that's been the challenge. Like a lot of our clients are, you know, very defensive about it, especially you know the true accountant types, because they still believe in billable hours. So it's a tough argument to win sometimes, and
they don't want to have an open conversation about the true value to them of a project.
Yeah.
So, and that's really part of the trust relationship too sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sure they want. I mean, our biggest challenge is still figuring out what the value is. That still takes time to do, and it's very challenging for consultants, for salespeople to say, okay, what is the true value?
What is this really worth to you?
Yeah. And that's going to be a challenge always, I think, figuring out the value. And just that's where you spend a lot of time sitting down and talking about it. But at least we're sitting down and talking about it, which is a big change.
The other advantage that this has brought about is that we spend a lot more time up front planning and scoping than we ever did. So in the past, we were more ready to just jump in, get on site, and we'll figure it out as we go. Because in a lot of cases, we were doing projects that we were comfortable with and we thought we could predict, and we knew what was going to come next.
And
so we'd
care.
Skip that step.
We're going to get paid based on the time spent. So if it takes a little longer, they'll pay for it.
It wasn't as important. But
yeah.
Now what's happening is everybody's slowing it down and having the right conversations with the clients up front before we go on site. So we know what's going to happen, what is a true scope, and we've had better planning conversations with the client so that they know what's expected on their side too. And that's something we haven't really talked about, but in terms of the whole partnership and working with our clients as a team, one of the key things that we've taken away from this is that the client has a role to play too. They are a key part of the team, whereas before, if they missed their deadlines and timelines, it was just, oh, well, we'll figure it out. Now we have to hold them accountable, because if they don't deliver, then it affects our ability to deliver as well.
The idea of it, of matching your intent statement, you know, all of us, I know I did too when I was in practice, our intent was really to help the customer make the best decision. And I almost felt hampered that I couldn't help them make the best decision, because without that value conversation, how can they make the best possible decision?
That's exactly right.
But it's still very challenging. Our consultants are struggling with that, some of them. And it's going to be a very long learning process. That's, I think, one of the toughest parts of this, because people always go back to try and scope out a project about how long it'll take instead of saying, okay, what is the true value to the client?
And they feel guilty if the client is paying X number of dollars and it's something that they do quickly. They still feel this sense of guilt or obligation that they're doing something wrong. And that they have to try and so we're trying to work through that as well and help them realize that there's more than just their on-site couple hours work that went into preparing the full solution. There is all the planning. There is all the discussions that happen.
And all the knowledge.
There's their knowledge and the preparation and testing and stuff that they do beforehand that goes into the full solution. So that's a cultural shift for us as well, because we're so used to counting everything in terms of hours.
Yep, that knowledge of the past, right? I mean, how much quote-unquote time did they spend learning Crystal Reports and learning the database structures of the product and all of the things that are necessary to write that 15-minute report?
That's exactly right.
So
take it for granted.
So tell me, were there any surprises that you had in implementing this?
Lots.
Yeah, actually, the biggest one is how some clients do cling to the hourly, how uncomfortable they feel. Even if it'll cost them less, they almost, that caught me off guard. I couldn't believe how some of them are so tied to hourly billings.
Well, it's not even, it's a way for them to keep track and hold us accountable. That's really what it was for some of them, right?
Yeah.
It was that if I can't keep score, well, how do I know how many hours you were on site this day if you're not telling me how many hours? I'm saying, well, what does it matter? As long as we get the job done, does it really matter how many actual hours we were there and on site and delivering? Well, yeah, it does, because I need to know. So, well, why do you need to know? And so we had those conversations saying, I can't keep track if you don't tell me. And we're saying, well, what you really should be measuring is the result, not the process to get to that result. We'll take care of the process, and we'll deliver the result. That's all you really should be counting on and paying for.
I think the other surprise was how long it's taken the project managers to feel comfortable with this. because they like managing hours. And when we took away our timesheets, they kind of felt naked.
I don't know if they liked it. That's something that was part of their job you took away.
You took away a big part of their job, which was reconciling the timesheets against the project, against the cost codes and all that fun stuff that was kind of, you know, useless work or low-value work. Instead of now, they're trying to measure, okay, you know, if you need to track deliverables and hold everybody accountable to that. So it's harder to control than just the units and the dollars and the amounts.
Yep.
So they really struggled with that. Plus, they kind of said, you know, how do we know what's going on without timesheets? And it's even now, I think they finally just clicked in because we had a meeting this week that we're actually doing timesheets in advance. Like, it's taken them a while to understand that process, that we are kind of doing timesheets in advance to get a, you know, sense of what the scope is for the project and how long it's going to take. But
the schedule.
Which is basically our scheduling, but it's taken them a long time to understand that shift.
Yeah. And we're still in our first year, so, and it has been a big, big change to everybody, clients and staff, and us, but everyone's feeling like we're on the right track and we're heading in the right direction. So far, so good.
Great.
I think the one mistake we made is actually called value pricing as opposed to value consulting. Because the salespeople had no issue with value pricing. They understood it fairly quickly, but the consultants automatically got their backs up because they think it's a sales exercise and giving clients a few options and trying to make as much money as you can. But I think when we switch it to value consulting,
that they understood.
They understood that a lot better than the salespeople did.
Interesting. That's cool. That's an interesting language play that I hadn't thought of. That's nice.
Okay.
Cool. So Tracy, before we started live on the podcast, you said you had a story.
Yeah, well, some of the side benefits of removing timesheets, which was part of it, right? So we took away their crutch, the timesheets. And I just had a conversation yesterday with two of the project managers talking about how this one consultant, they used to have to babysit him, but he seems to be on fire and he's accountable and they don't have to chase him anymore. He's taking ownership. And they just can't believe the shift and, you know, they don't know what's happened or what's changed, but they like it and it's all good. And so I had noticed the same thing. And I asked the consultant, I said, so, you know, this year you're on fire. And, you know, everyone's been talking about how great a job you're doing and how you're the go-to person. And I said, what's different? He said, well, now I don't have to keep track of every single minute that I spend in timesheets. He said, so the fact that I don't have to be accountable and spend the end of every day trying to figure out what I did and where I put it, it allows me to actually get my job done. And so now he's a very black and white guy, but it was profound to me how much that was getting in the way of him being effective and delivering best service to our clients. So it was really, to me, a very, if nothing else, a very, very good reason for taking away that little administrative task.
And it's funny because I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I thought he would be the one guy who loves timesheets because he's very anal that way, but he actually hated it.
Well, he did because he was in his role. He's actually provides support. So he does his day is not a day. He does an hour here, an hour there. And so it actually got in the way because he felt like he had to try and come up with
15 minutes
here, an hour there, a half hour here.
Instead of just doing it
and not worrying about it.
Yeah, okay. It's good.
So it's huge.
And he's been with us if it's the same guy, right?
Yep.
The tall guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
We only have one tall guy.
We don't want to apply a name. He's been with us for like 22 years. So it's a big change for him.
It's a massive change. And up until now, not to belabor it too much, but we had issues with him taking ownership and being accountable.
I hope he's not watching this. He'll figure out who it is.
Well, but he knows. I've talked to him about it, and I said, this is amazing. You're doing
fantastic. Okay, so he's been with us for 22 years. He's not going to stay much longer. Certainly watches this or listens to this.
I'm sure now that you guys have made the switch, he's there for you for another 22 years.
There you go. I hope not for all of us. Yeah. A long time.
Oh, goodness me. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for this conversation. This has been fascinating, I love hearing these stories, and I hear the enthusiasm in your voice, and it just makes me enthusiastic. So thanks for having me as a part of this, and I look forward to continue working with you guys in the future.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Thanks for your help with this.